Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you so much for joining us on Blog Talk Radio, the LFC Midweek Prayer and Praise Gathering. Hallelujah, blessed, blessed New Year's to you. We apologize for being late on the sign-in. Pray for us. I was in the wrong program, okay? We thank God for the opportunity to touch and agree and to be on one accord and to gather to renew our strength and our resolve and our focus on this journey. And as we go forth, I don't know for sure if our prophet is on the line. Because he
I am on the line. I am. I'm here.
Praise God. Praise God. It is in your hands, a prophet.
Amen. Well, good evening, Blog Talk family, LFC community. Pray that you are having a prosperous and wonderful new year. We are going to read Psalms 96, verse 1 through 3. It says, at the dawn of the new year, I'm filled with hope for what is to come, and I have thankfulness in my heart for what has already passed. I pray that I will keep my focus where it needs to be this year, and that we'll all have a year filled with joy, love, and happiness. So let's pray. Father, we do thank you for another new year. We thank you for a new decade. We do pray Psalms 96, 1 through 3, as we are at the dawn of this new year. We are filled with hope for what is to come. And we have thankfulness in our hearts for what has already passed. We pray that we will keep our focus where it needs to be this year and that we'll have a year filled with joy, love, and happiness. Thank you for being a wonderful and phenomenal and awesome God. Forgive us for all that we may have said or done that's unpleasing in your sight. Thank you that it is your blood who eradicated our sin and that we could come boldly to your throne of grace. And we are forgiven. We celebrate our awesome God. We thank you for who you are, all that you have done, and what you have purposed in our hearts individually and collectively. We celebrate that you are simply amazing. You are phenomenal. You're indescribable. You're incredible. You're incomparable. You're unchangeable. You're unmovable. You're unstoppable. You're all-knowing. You're unimaginable, and nothing is too hard for you. Thank you for being faithful once again. Thank you for always being there for us. Thank you for being our rear guard and having our back. And thank you for always going before us to make every crooked path straight and every rough place smooth. Thank you that our life is in your hands, that our days are numbered. You know the hairs on our head, they are counted for. And we thank you. We thank you that we are the apple of your eye, the delight of your day. You have good thoughts towards us, thoughts that are good and not evil, to give us a future and a hope, to bring us to an expected end. You have always loved us, and you will always love us. Nothing we've ever done, nothing we will do, nothing can separate us from your love. No height, nor depth, no principality, no power, no things present, nor things to come will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we thank you. We thank you for how you've been faithful over the last 10 years. And we believe and we know by faith you will continually to be faithful to us as we are marking a new era, going into a new year, coming into a new day. And so we pray, let thy will be done in 2020 in this earth as it was originally written in heaven. Let every aspect of our lives come in divine alignment. May they line up with the purposes and the plans of God. And then may you superimpose the enemy who has come after our destiny and our purposes. You said one chases 1,000, but two put 10,000 in flight. And so today we believe strongholds are breaking, barriers are coming down, doors are being opened, and we honor you for it in the name of Jesus. We wage war against every thought, every assignment to exalt itself against the knowledge, the power, and the will of God. And we bring those thoughts into captivity in the name of Jesus. And we decree and declare that the enemy is bound. The enemy is defeated. What Christ did on the cross supersedes any plot, plan, and scheme of the enemy. And we thank you, and we apply your blood over the doorposts of our hearts, over our ear gates, over our eye gates, over our mouth gates, so that as we see, hear, and speak, we will only decree and declare what you have said. Every lie that has eradicated itself against the truth, we decree and declare that it is coming down. The lie of sickness, the lie of debt, the lie of depression, the lie of doubt, the lie of fear, the lie of unhealthiness, the lie of sickness, the lie of disease, the lie of poverty, the lie of pain, the lie of rejection. It has to fall. The Goliath of those things that have terrorized us, our families, our cities, our countries, our loved ones have to come down, and the head, their head have to be beheaded. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, we do want to read for you the 2020 prophetic declaration. We wanted to take this time to go through it as a community. We wanted to have some dialogue and some conversation about it. We do want to encourage you to grab your Bibles. We want to look at least 3 to 4 scriptures that we're going to just continue to challenge you during the course of the 2020 year to read and to meditate and allow it to soak in your heart. Let it become a place of devotion for you, as we believe it is those scriptures that will guide you during the course of this new year and this new decade. And so we are excited to be a part of it. We took time last Sunday as a community. If you was not last Sunday, but the fourth Sunday, if you were not there, you missed a prophetic moment. We took time as a community to grieve the last 10 years, and we got it out of our spirits. It no longer have a stronghold over our lives, because there was something powerful when we all came together and we did what the scripture said. We weep together and we also rejoice together. And so I'm excited that nothing over the last 10 years can hinder these next 10 years as we are moving into a very powerful prophetic stage, a very very powerful and prophetic era. And I just want us to embrace it as a community, embrace it as individuals, and truly believe. You know, sometimes we can hear and not believe. And sometimes we believe, but we don't hear. And so as we go through this 2020 prophetic declaration, our prayer is that you will hear and also believe, and you will believe and you will hear, and you will govern your life according to this declaration. And when the enemy comes against you like a flood, because he will, you have a standard, which is the word of God. You have a foundation, you have a baseline that you can live off of, that you can go back to and say, wait a minute, enemy, God said this. This is what the word of the Lord said. We see it in scripture. Daniel got that revelation. Ezra got that revelation. They realized that it was the end of a 70th year. And the Bible said that they were only supposed to be captive for that period of time. And they made a declaration according to the written word and said, we can no longer be in this bondage. We have to have our jubilee. We have to reap what God has said. And they called kings. They called God on that word. And it became and it had to manifest. And so we're sharing that to say, when you find yourself that is in a situation that is opposing this word that is released, that we're going to read, that is opposing what God has said for you in this new decade, you can go back and make declaration and say, but God, you said, or according to how Jesus said it, it is written. He told the enemy, it is written. Man does not live by bread alone. You can't tempt me there. It is written. He will give his angels to charge over me. It is written. And we can move into that kind of prophetic confidence. We can move into that kind of prophetic excitement. We can move into that kind of fair praying and declaration and say, it is written. We're not praying the problem. We are praying the solution. We're not decreeing and declaring the problem. We are decreeing and declaring the answer. And so the 2020 prophetic declaration reads like this: Greetings and Happy New Year's. LFC is extremely excited about this upcoming year and the entry of a new decade. We have declared 2020 as the year of the strategic crossover, the year where you will see what the Lord has said. The word of the Lord declares, but Israel stretched out his hand and crossed his arms, laying his right hand on the head of Ephraim the younger and his left hand on the head of Manasseh the firstborn, and he spoke the blessing over Joseph. We believe God is strategically speaking blessing over us in 2020 that will radically change your life. We decree you will not misfire in this season, but you will bullseye and hit your spiritual target. Your latter years are about to be greater than your former years. God has placed his hand over you, and you are headed in a new direction. God is guiding you towards his divine and strategic plan for your life. 2019 was the year of the eye in Hebrew, and this year is the year of the open mouth. We ended a decade singing, and we are beginning a decade declaring. We will declare what the Lord has said, and we will see what he is saying. We are entering a new decade, a new era of creativity. God said, and he saw, and God saw everything that he has said, created, and that it was very good. This would be the beginning of your good decade. You will behold great promises and walk in strategic blessings God has prepared for you and your family. We are declaring momentum, maturation, manifestation, miracles, and mantles over God's mission, mandate, and ministry for your life. We declare, let the mantles of innovation, the mantles of inspiration, and the mantles of creation be released over you in 2020. This is our declaration. May you walk in double, be divinely focused, and may the all-powerful hand of God be over you like you have never experienced. We pray, may God use you to bring the kingdom of this world into divine alignment with the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. We speak not only a happy new year, but a happy new you. Amen, amen, amen. Well, I got excited about reading that. Amen. Amen. That is our prayer. That is our declaration as a body of believers. That is our 2020 prophetic word for you from God. And we are excited and pray that you would just soak that in. Amen. Let's just take Amen. A moment and allow that to meditate in our hearts, allow that to settle in our spirit. Amen. This is your year of a strategic crossover. This is your year that you will not misfire. You will bullseye. You will hit your target. Your ladder is going to be greater than your former. God's hand is on you. Amen. Just allow that to sink in on you. Amen. God's hand is on your life. You are in the palm of his hand. Nothing, no one can pluck you out. No situation, no circumstance can pull you away from the hand of God. You are divinely secured in his hand, and he is guiding you. Someone needs to hear that. God is guiding you, even when it doesn't feel like it, even when it seems uncomfortable, even when it feels overwhelming, even when it just feels frustrating. You know, anyone ever not listen to the GPS? It keeps telling you go right, and you're like, no, you keep ignoring it because in your head you have a better way. Understand God is guiding you. This is the year of an open mouth. God is speaking, and he is saying something. And guess what? You don't have to sit quiet. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Declare it over your home. Decree it over your children. Speak it over your jobs. Release it in your city. Declare it over your community. Speak it in your neighborhoods. God is saying something. The all-powerful God mouth, according to the Hebrew, is open upon you, and words are coming out. And all you need to do is embrace it. God said it, and he saw it. And you've heard us say this plenty of times. The first law of words was not communication. The first law of word was creation, because when God spoke, he created. He created. He looked. It was form, void, darkness covered everything. It was chaotic. Now, scripture doesn't tell us the state before God spoke, but the state that it was in, God refused to keep it that way. And somebody just needs to hear that. God's not going to keep letting your life be chaotic. He's not going to keep allowing darkness to supersede and rule over your circumstance and over your situation. And when the speaking spirit of God is released, he creates, he shapes, he forms it. He allows his will to come to pass. And so we believe that we're going to see what God is saying. We're going to stand like Habakkuk and be on our watch. We're going to declare it. We're going to rehearse it. We're going to keep repeating it. We're going to put it on auto dial. We're going to put it on redial, and we'll keep saying it. Like the woman with the issue of blood, the scripture says she just kept saying to herself, if I can touch the hem of his garment. It was on redial. If I can touch the hem of his garment, bloody and all, if I can touch the hem of his garment, chaos, crowded, footsteps, but if I can touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. Amen. And so some of you just need to rehearse that constantly. By his stripes, I am healed. My body's going to come on divine alignment. My mind is going to come in divine alignment. My money is going to come in divine alignment. My ministry is going to come in divine alignment. Everything about my life is going to come in this divine alignment. Amen. And we're going to keep declaring momentum. We're going to keep declaring maturation. We're going to keep declaring manifestation. We're going to keep declaring miracles. But in 2020, we're going to declare mantles. We're going to declare that there are mantles that are still in this earth that needs to be picked up, that needs to be released. Why do those mantles need to be released? Why do they need to fall in this season? Because there's going to be a great change in this new decade. I was doing some research, and the top 5 jobs that are on the list today to have did not exist 5 years ago. The top 5 employments that people are gunning for and trying to have did not exist 5 years ago. Within a small scope of 5 years, new innovation, new creation. People wasn't going to school to code. People wasn't being influencers. People wasn't being YouTubers. The whole Obama administration created a job in the White House just for social media. Those were things that had never been created for. And that era is moving. God is steady evolution. God is steady being evolution, and he is also being a revolution. We are steady on a rise. And so we want to be in the timing of God. We want to be like the sons of Issachar, who understood the season, who understood the timing of God. And so there are just certain mantles that we're going to need, and not just young people, but our season and age people. There are going to be certain mantles that you're going to need to fall in your life. You're going to need it so that you can minister grace to your great-grand and to your grandchildren. You're going to need those mantles and those innovation on how to connect. I was sharing with Overseer a couple of Sundays ago that we live in a special time. This is the only time where all the generations can exist together. Usually a generation die off, but in these 2000s, you have your silent, you have your silence, you have your baby boomers, you have your Generation Z, you have your Generation X, you have your millennials, you have your alpha. You can be in a place where every generation is represented, and it was not like that always. And so we are quickly moving into a new era, and not just mantles of new, but mantles of old. If God is moving us to a season of creation, go back to a time where, you know, we look at our George Washington Carvers who created. We look at our Albert Einsteins. They brought something new to a generation, and we want to be on that cutting edge as an apostolic and prophetic house. We want to be on that cutting edge as trailblazers moving into the things of God. And so we are decreeing that mantles are going to fall. We're going to have innovation. We're going to have inspiration. We're going to have new ways to create. I'm thinking about my grandniece who is not even 6 months yet, and she's crawling and trying to walk, and she is so innovative. She had a wonderful time at Christmas, and she's able to clap and repeat things that my children, who are only the oldest 18 years ago, was not that advanced and was not doing. And I and you, who are grandparents, need to be able to shape them and mold them into the things of God and release back some of those old prayer mantles on their lives. You know, those old mantles when speaking in tongues, those mantles of Azusa, that mantle of holiness, because now it's not popular to live holy, but we need individuals who will go back into the realm of the spirit and pray those mantles over this generation and decree and declare that they will not be drawn away by the lust of this world. They will not miss fire. They will bullseye. They will hit their spiritual targets. And so we are believing for those mantles to release, and we are praying that you will walk in double. You will reap where you have not sown. You will have double for your places of trouble. You will receive from the years that the pommel worm, the caterpillar, the locust had eaten up. You will be in a season where both your former and your latter rain will fall down in your house, fall down in your lifetime. So we are believing you will walk in double. We are believing that you're going to be divinely focused. Amen. No more confusion. No more off balance. But we are divinely focused, that we are kingly, that we understand our days, we understand our time, and we are strategic. We are intentional. We're doing stuff on purpose, with a purpose, and then may the all-powerful hand of God be over you like you've never experienced. Amen. I know there's people on this phone who have experienced God in powerful ways. I know there are individuals who have been connected to some powerful things before. I remember growing up and just seeing wonderful things. It was the laughing ministry. People were being slain in the Holy Spirit. I remember speaking in tongues at 12, something I had never experienced, being in rooms where people were getting sober and demonic forces were crying out. But we are about to enter into an era, and God's going to trump the things. He's going to do gooder. And I know gooder ain't a word, but it just sounds good. He's going to do gooder and better than the things that we've experienced before. So my prayer for you is that the all-powerful God will rest upon you, and you will have those kind of divine experiences. I was thinking the other day, I remember when we doing our sexual healing retreat days, and we first got introduced to Elder Pat and the Flag Ministry, and how, you know, that was so, we hadn't as a church experienced the worship through flags and the worship through banner, and how it became contagious and it elevated our place of worship. And we hadn't discussed publicly about the appearances of angels, but those were times and seasons where God moved powerfully, and we walked in things that we had never experienced, and that is still here, and we will begin to experience it even the more. So that is your prophetic declaration. We do want to, you know, again, like we said, this is a time that if you are here and you would like to just talk about it and communicate, say something that stuck out to you. This is, you know, I'm still processing this crossover thing, but I see it in the spirit, but I can't yet communicate it. But I see us as a community crossing over. I see this dual kind of crossover where, you know, the old's going to learn from the young and the young is going to learn from the old, but yet we are moving into new eras, into new places as well. So the scriptures that we want to look at, we're going to look at Genesis 48, 14 through 15. I'm going to look at it from the Voice version, Genesis 1 and 31. And that's the God's word in action. And then 2 Samuel 5 and 24. That's Genesis 48, 14 through 15, Genesis 1 and 31, and then 2 Samuel 5 and 24. And I'll repeat it again. Genesis 48, 14 through 15, Genesis 1 and 31, and 2 Samuel 5 and 24, 2 Samuel 5 and 24. But before we look at them, we've read the word, we kind of went over it. Anyone would like to share something or look at what they heard as we were reading the 2020 prophetic declaration?
Well, Prophet, I was while you were reading and actually trying to take notes from it, but I realized I wanted a deeper understanding of what the word mantle means in Scripture, how it was used and what it was used to represent, and what it is obviously an actual physical thing, but it has a spiritual meaning. And so that was my concern. I want to, know exactly what a mantle is. And I always thought of it in a certain way, just as a cloak that someone wore. We see the pictures on the movies or, you know, whatever, of the different prophets and things having this particular jacket on or covering on, not even a coat, but more of a covering. And then becoming aware of the fact that that's part of the garment. And actually the priest's garment and the prophet's garment looks very different. So I started looking at it as, you know, taking up our mantle is taking up in a garment, a mantle is physically associated with your garment, your mantle or your coat, the thing that covers you and keeps you warm. And so I was thinking of this mantle then, and the priest or the prophet had one, very specific one, Elijah. And what he did with it. And so it reminded me of the anointing that we're covered in, that we're wrapped in, to keep us empowered in the calling that's on the inside. So it's to cover and to keep, and to keep warm, if you will. Actually, to keep it very passionately on fire for God and very focused. And so that mantle became the key for everything for me, and everything that it is associated with, and all of the properties of a mantle. And then to understand, you know, how it was used, how it is used in Scripture, and then to translate, and whatever was brought in the Old Testament was a shadow of what came forth in the New Testament. And so I know that part of what we're doing is God has prepared his people for holiness, a level of holiness like never before, where we don't get stuck in what we do, but more in the concept of why we're doing it. So we don't just perform religious, rituals, but we're actually doing what Holy Spirit wants us to do for that moment, for that time. And so as a result, it is one of those areas where, because you prepared us to grieve the past 10 years, let it go. Let it go. Because everything that's going forth is going to be brand new. And the covering over that newness is the Holy Spirit. And he brings the correction. He brings teaching. He brings holiness to our actions and to the to our heart's condition, to what really is in our heart, a pure heart. And so that's what, you know, came to me when you shared the prophetic word, and then you said we become an open mouth, you know, and he says that life and death is, you know, is in the power of the tongue. And once this open mouth has been, you know, mantled with the power of the Holy Spirit, what we can declare will come to pass. And so it's this coming together of all the things that at Laborers for Christ we've been taught, we've been exposed to, we've seen examples of, we have gone even into, you know, different applications for it and the things that we do. And now he's bringing it all together. So we know the mission. We know ministry. Now we have to know the relationship between the mantle, which is really the Holy Spirit, I think, and the ministry and the mission. You had another hymn that I may not have wrote down. So kind of that's some of the things that just, you know, like just, I don't want to say sporadically, you know, I just jotted down a word or thing, and that's what, you know, I received when you were reading it.
Amen, amen. Thank you for sharing. And that is what we want to do. You know, we don't want it just to become something that we've heard today, but we want it to be something that we are saying, and as we are saying, we are also seeing it. And so we want the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened and open. I'm excited because, you know, I've talked a lot about mantles, but it became very important even in this season to get a deeper understanding. So we're definitely on the same level plane. So I thank you for sharing and even giving me a new way to shift to see the Holy Spirit as this garment that is living inside of us constantly and are pulling truth out of us because that is his role, and seeing, even seeing the gift of who he is as part of those mantles that are being birthed inside of us. I believe last year for me, I was stuck on Psalms 139, that part that says I was created in secret, that there are some things about me that I don't know, and there are some things about us as a community, individual, that we don't know, but the mantle, the garment of the Holy Spirit is pulling those things out, and they're no longer going to be made a secret. Yeah. But for such a time as this, we're going to see them cloaked on us and see how it is transferable one to another and for a divine purpose. So thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else?
Well, this Pastor Rogers, what Overseer just explained was what we studied through the Sunday school, but basically it was broken down to we being the children of God, turning sinners into discipleship, where the mantle, as she's saying, I see the mantle as the Holy Spirit within us, leading, guiding, and directing us, that we can also bring those that were lost, and they too can become disciples and receive this mantle, that it continues an everlasting Spirit of God in the world or the earth today. And also the garment, you spoke of that, where it was talking about the garment of new and old garment, which was the Old Testament and the New Testament. The New Testament meaning that we are under grace, which was a greater gift from God, where he gave us the Holy Spirit to do the work for us. And only thing we have to do is become those willing vessels. So we're living in a time that we can receive and hear from heaven, truly hear God's voice of what he's saying to us, that we will be able to do a greater work, because the people will, you know, they will be able to see the Holy Spirit within us, and they too will. We want to receive and do fulfill the plan of God with what he has given us. Everything he has given us is a gift. And when we see that we really don't have to work that hard when it's a gift, only thing we have to do is humble ourselves and receive this mantle. So I was thanking God, because the way she explained it in a different point of view than the way we were talking about it in Sunday school. But it was all saying the same thing, who we are in Christ and what he has done for us. So.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Rogers. Amen. Anyone else?
Amen. So I've gotten a couple years ago, maybe even 10, upstairs, Apostle Chanette was ministering and had released a mantle of worship. And I was one of the recipients of it. And I could not find my notes from it anymore, but I knew God had told me to revisit it, and I couldn't find it. Well, when you started talking about the mantles, and I knew it was Old Testament, and then you released the Ezra mantle. Mm. So then I said, okay. So then I started reading. I was like, that was it.
Oh,
and
wow.
So then, excuse me. And so then when Overseer was just like, and then I was like, okay, so what's a mantle? And what's this? Before I found it in Ezra. And so I just thank God, and I hope we do follow up with that study as relates to mantles and the, not significance of them, but the power of them and the anointing and the purpose of them, just because God really did bring that up. So thank you, Prophet.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good conversation. Amen. So we definitely know that mantles is on our spiritual radar. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else?
Amen. Since our Pastor Connie, I see the mantle of, as we have the mantle of Christ upon us. He said in his word that the things that he did, greater things that we can do. because he goes to the Father. So he has left back his mantle that we can work the work that he has sent us to do through him. And when we receive it, knowing that it is God that is working through us, that we will act on it. I'll pitch it a mantle of over the fireplace. It's up high. It's not low. It's up high. So that means that he's bringing us up higher to a different level and not to stay in the place that we are in or have been in. And that in raising up higher, even with the prophet, he told his Elijah, he said that when you see me and go up, his mantle was going to fall back on him. And the Elijah did greater works than Elisha did. So I think the mantle that we are going to hold will be Christ-like, and it's from him, and that people will know that it is the work of the Lord. It's not our work, but it's the work of the Lord, and we won't be deceived by what people say or think or see, but we be in knowledge of God's work, and we will act on it, and knowing that when we walk away from it, if we say what God give us to say and we walk away from it, it's still going to be done. And when we speak his word is not going to come back void. So we can speak to counsel and say, be thy whole, because God has left us the man to heal, to deliver, and to set free. So when we speak that, we can walk away from it knowing that it's already done, that it's not going to be done, but it's already done, because that's the word. And that's as I see the mantle being lifting us up to a higher degree, a higher level, a higher anointing in him, and that we will come in the knowing that that's what we are to do, not what somebody say that we are to do or think we're supposed to do, but what God has told us to do.
Amen. Amen. I wrote that down, the mantle of greater works. We are under the mantle, the umbrella of greater works. Amen. And I think even if we look at Elijah, we look at the process, it is definitely, you know, and you know, let's add that to our scripture looking, but when we look at it, you know, it was not just something he received it, but there was a process. He had to be positioned.
Yeah.
You know, of all of the conversations that we were talking about, even going back to what Pastor Lazarus brought up, she had to receive it, had to be positioned.
Mm-hmm.
If she wasn't in the house in labors for Christ under the apostolic voice, all of those kind of things, and allowing those mantles to be. And so, yeah, that's exciting. Amen. 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 Father, Elijah said to him, he said, if you see it, you know, you will receive it. And so, Father, let us see. Give us sight. Not just open our eyes, but give us sight. Let us have vision. Let inspiration and revelation. And revelation is that insight into God's will fall on us individually, but also fall on us as a body, as a community, that we will see and that we will say and we will receive and we will believe and we will walk in and we will possess all that you have for us. Let it be known about labors for Christ that not one word you spoke concerning us fell to the ground, but we received all that you had for us, and we walked in all that you declared over us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Yes, yes, yes. You got me excited. Amen, amen. Let's look. We have a few more minutes, but the three scriptures. I'm sorry, someone else wanted to say something? Okay, so we look. We want to just keep Genesis 48, 14 through 15 on our hearts, Genesis 1 and 31, and 2 Samuel 5 and 24. Actually, 2 Samuel 5, I started at 23. And I just want to read those scriptures so we can, you know, maybe have some little dialogue about it as well over the next 10 minutes that we have together. And so Genesis 48, starting at verse 10 through 14, and I'm reading out of the Voice version. It reads as so, and I just want us to hear every word and see ourselves in it. It says, "Now Israel's eyes were dim because of his old age, so he couldn't see well. Joseph brought the boys near to him, and Israel kissed them and hugged them warmly. Jacob to Joseph, 'I didn't know if I would ever see your face again, but now God has given me more than I hoped. He has let me see your children too.' Then Joseph moved the boys aside. They had been at his father's knees, and he bowed down low with his face to the ground. Then Joseph took his sons and brought them near to his father. He took his younger son, Ephraim, in his right hand and put them to the left hand of Israel. And he took Manasseh in his left hand and put him to the right hand of Israel. But Israel stretched out his hands and crossed his arms, laying his right hand on the head of Ephraim the younger and his left hand on the hand of Manasseh the firstborn, and he spoke these blessings." And so that is part of our prophetic scripture, this strategic crossover, God taking our latter, which can represent our younger, and he's taking our former, and he's blessing. And what and it was strategic. Israel knew exactly what he was doing in spite of his dim eyes, in spite of the fact that he could not see well, in spite of traditionally it was not the custom to give the blessing to the younger. You give the blessing to the older. And Israel was strategic in how he was blessing his boys. Even with Joseph, you know, I don't want to really say he wasn't manipulating the situation, but he was adjusting it. He was making sure that custom or culture was being followed. But Israel, being led by God, strategically crossed over. He strategically did what was the heart and the mind of God. And I just see that, you know, that's how we're entering to this new decade. That is how we're entering into this new season, this new era of God taking what's to come and blessing it and doing uncustom, doing uncommon, doing nothing that has been traditional, what we're used to, because he has a divine plan. So I encourage those who feel like your vision is growing dim, your eyes are not quite as well, you don't physically feel spiritually charged like you used to, but know the scripture said that Joseph brought the boys near him. And I just see us getting closer, getting a closeness. And I believe what Overseer used the word was, she called it holiness. It's almost that is being restored back unto us. That's what I see. I see this us drawing nearer. That level of holiness is being drawn back unto us. And then he said he kissed them and hugged them warmly. You know, I'm just a touchy-feely person anyway, but to know that the kiss of the Father, you know, to know that God is embracing us in a new way, new ways are so exciting for me. So that's what I get out of that. Anyone else?
Well, Prophet,
Yes. As you were reading, as Israel would represent the Father,
mm-hmm.
and his Son would represent the Son of God, and the ones that were brought to him were the, did I just say, the Israel nation and the Gentiles. And it's like the first will be last, and the last will be first. And it wasn't that his eyes were dim because he couldn't see, but his natural eyes were dim because he couldn't see, but his spiritual eyes were even greater, sharpened. It's still that 20/20 vision in the spirit realm. And so his eyes, if he could see, would have caused him to do what was the traditional thing to do. But because he was having a veil over that which was natural, he was given and open to that which was spiritual, and he was able then to do what heaven desired, was to make the first last and the last first. And that's what Christ did. That's what he did. And that's how he established us as his bride, in that while the spiritual like had to come to Christ, we believed in him. We didn't have a history. But the Gentiles, they didn't have a history in God. But they were the young. They were new. So I just see it as even the more for us right now to understand that's how God works. And so until we dim our eyes to the way the world does things, we will never receive what Holy Spirit is going to give us so that he can guard the mantle that's been put on our shoulder, that anointing, that the mantle is to keep you from, protect you from the elements. And so that Holy Spirit's got to keep the anointing protected from that which would come and distort it, pollute it, or mess it up. So that's what I'm
saying. Amen. And what I heard was, too, as you were talking, he did not misfire. He bullseye.
No.
He hit the right target. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely. Yeah. Amen.
All right. Amen. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought someone else wanted to add to the conversation. Amen. Anyone else? Man, all right, let's look at our next scripture, Genesis 1 and 31. And God saw everything that he had said, created, and that it was very good. There was evening, then morning, and the sixth day. Amen. What do you think about that scripture? What do you hear?
Anybody? Prophet, can you read it again?
Yes. So Genesis 1 and 31, you know, as we are also moving into this year of the open mouth, we have decreed that we ended a year singing. We are beginning this new decade declaring, and part of what the Lord gave us as a body is Genesis 1 and 31, and God saw everything that he had said, created, and that it was very good. There was evening, then morning, and the sixth day, Genesis 1 and 31.
Amen.
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 Man, sometimes you don't have nothing to say. You just receive, right? Amen. That is our declaration.
So much goes through our minds and our hearts. It's like, oh, that, or that, or that, or that, or that. You know, because just a few things of what he says has such a purposeful, powerful meaning, you know, till it means so much. And I know that when I see what he had made and that it was good, that what we say from what he has told us will create that which is good. And when the good finished, then the Garden of Eden existed, and it was a perfect place. So when after we speak it and declare it, and then it comes to pass, then we are bringing the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Prophet, when I read that, I look at God had prepared everything that man needed, that was necessary, and the only thing we needed to do now was praise him. You know, appreciation, like Overseer was saying, you can read and see so much in that one, but when we can begin to realize that everything that we need, God has already given it to us, and the only thing we have to do is receive it and give him the glory, the honor, and the praise. And we'll find ourselves being able, what, God can use us more, because the more love that we have for him, that's when the Holy Spirit will allow us to do more for him. You know, you trust him and you complete one assignment, then he gives you the next assignment. So it was just a lot in that one. For everything that God was, he had made, he said very good. So we know that when he seen himself, I put it that way, with man, God seen himself. And, you know, you got to appreciate who you are. And when you see yourself as being the righteousness of God, that's the way I like to say it to myself. You know, when you become the righteousness of God, then because you know it's his righteousness that makes us righteous, then we will humble ourselves and allow him to use us. So I think that he had made all the creatures, everything. He had done it. There was no need for us to try to come up with nothing.
Amen. I even like that, you know, we are already, you know, we are repeating, we are saying again a finished work, a prepared work that has already been decreed and declared over our lives, and it is very good, you know, and I like the sound of that, you know, because I am someone who, you know, it's like, oh, God is tricking me, but he don't have that in him. You know, anything he do is good, even when it don't feel, look, act, whatever, it is good because God has decreed and declared it. And I never look, you know, even here he said there was the evening, then morning, it was the sixth day. You know, even this degrees of separation, God is good. And in the evening, he's good. In the morning, you know, our former ladder, he is constantly and consistently amazing and wonderful God. And the fact that he said it, you know, he said it. He didn't judge the chaos. He didn't look at it. He didn't even confirm, oh, you know, this earth is void. It's all messed up. He just said it. And as he said it, he created. And then he said it was very good. And it is still good to this day. It is still good to this day. All right, let's look at 2 Samuel 5:23-24. I am reading out of the NLT version, and it says, "And again, David asked the Lord what to do. And the Lord replied, 'Do not attack them straight on,' the Lord replied. 'Instead, circle around behind and attack them near the poplar tree. When you hear a sound like marching feet and the top of the poplar trees, be on the alert. That would be the signal that the Lord is moving ahead of you to strike down the Philistine army. So David did what the Lord commanded, and he struck down the Philistines all the way from Gibeon to Gizar. Man. Now, I'm going to let Overseer give you a little more insight into this scripture. She shared this, and it made me jump. And so share us a little background of how the Lord gave this scripture to you, Overseer.
Okay. Well, we were in some phone blog talk or something, and I don't remember what the purpose was. But it immediately it became the remembrance of this the when the leaves are being blown at the top of the mulberry tree, and this tree is a very solid and a very strong tree, and it took a lot, first of all, to make the wind ruffle the leaves at the top of the tree. So, and it's interesting that at the top of the tree, it's close to the heavens. And so when we think of heaven rustling the leaves, so now it's time to go, it's time to fight, it's time to circle, it's time for the battle. It's really an indication that heaven has come. Heaven and the resources of heaven have fallen upon us, and now we can go and move in the strategy that God has given the house. And so when we listen for it. I don't remember all of the details of when it happened, but it became so profound because I was aware of the fact that it was a teaching in the Seven Wonders as well about how God uses the imagery and the symbolism of trees to communicate with us. And so that fact, you know, also is found in the New Testament when he says that if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can also say to that mulberry tree, move. So in the Old Testament, heaven moved the top. In the New Testament, our prayers move the whole tree. And so it gives us a progression of God's strategy and plan for us. And so I really get excited about that because he said, you know, one thing, you sit and you wait for me in the Old Testament because that's what they have to do. But in the New Testament, just like you said, what he did, we will do that and more. He's saying now you don't have to wait because what you're doing is walking, you know, in the spirit. But that power becomes in our open mouth. You can say to this mulberry tree, and it will move and go and see us go somewhere, but it'll move. So that's kind of it.
Amen. That ain't kind of, that was powerful. Amen. Father, give us ears to hear. May we hear the sound of victory. I pray for this community that they will hear the sound of victory and that we will move in command. Thank you for the progression that heaven move the leaves, but we decree the whole tree has to be uprooted, Father. It can no longer stand in our way. No Philistine army, no mulberry tree can stand in front of this strategic next 10 years that we are about to experience as we are entering into this strategic crossover into a new decade of good. You said this was going to be the beginning of a good decade year as we have an open mouth of God over our lives, as we are receiving these mantles and causing them to arise in us. Thank you for what you are doing. And so we decree again over this community, may we walk in double, be divinely focused, and may the all-powerful hand of God be over us like we have never experienced in the name of Jesus. May we attack them straight on. May we circle no longer, may we attack, and may we no longer find ourselves in this loop of no victory, And may we listen for the sound of the feet of the army and see great victories. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Happy New Year. I'm excited to be among such great people of God, excited to serve you in 2020. We are excited as a house to be a part of this strategic crossover plan that God has for us individually and collectively. I enjoy these moments where we get together and we communicate and we talk and we hear what the Lord is, what we have an ear to hear, what the Spirit is saying, amen, through the church, and that is each one of us, amen. And so, again, we do bless you. We wish you a happy new year. Any announcements, Overseer?
Apostle? Any announcements? It was your apostle. We will be at Bethany Saturday at between 10 and 11 on the upper level to do some strategic. Okay. Right. Did you say be packing from one room to another, combining our spaces so that we relinquish some of the space that we have. And so we will be at the church at 10 o'clock on Saturday to get that process going. We will worship at 2:30 at Laborers Beth downstairs in the fellowship hall. So look for other announcements via email and Elder Sherita.
All right. Well, I'm sorry. Yes,
no,
we're excited. Text someone if you can come out on Saturday morning, 1750 West 103rd Street. We will need hands. So we will be, it will be a working fellowship. So,
amen.
If you know someone, please text them, come out and be a part of it. I look forward to worshiping with you the first Sunday of 2020.
Yes.
Let's come with expectation. Let's come with the spirit of David. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let's get excited about what God's going to do among us in 2020, among this first service. Don't meet us there. Beat us there. Come.
Amen.
Come set the atmosphere. Pray over the room with us. And let's believe God to do great and powerful things this coming Sunday of the first new year.
Amen. And God has promised us prophets that the humble, he will give a fresh joy. And you know what? I want to know what a fresh joy is. I'm definitely,
amen.
Definitely.
Amen.
Yes,
joy. Yes, yes.
Fresh joy. This ain't something left
amen.
Over all done. Or something you used to. This is a fresh joy. Hallelujah. That's it.
Amen. Well, let's definitely end with our Psalms 96, 1 through 3 scripture. At the dawn of the new year, I'm filled with hope for what is to come, and I have thankfulness in my heart for what has already passed. I pray that I will keep my focus where it needs to be this year, and that we'll all have a year filled with joy, love, and happiness. See you Saturday. God bless you.
Amen, amen, and amen.